our brother Frank has had a particular part of the Beatitudes that he's been just camping on and percolating in. So as we prayed about it and thought about it, we said, hey, why don't we take a segue and kind of go into the Beatitudes. Now, I want to ask you guys, what are the Beatitudes? When we say the Beatitudes, where in Scripture is that? Does anyone have an idea? The Beatitudes, why would I choose this picture particularly for the Beatitudes?
Book of Matthew, isn't it?
Very good. So it is the book of Matthew. If you want to take a gander at what chapter that is, well, turn your Bibles open if you would like to Matthew chapter 5. And what is the Beatitudes? Scott, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I'm glad that you're engaging us this morning. What are the Beatitudes, if we think about that? Who's speaking? Who gives the Beatitudes? What's going on here? Okay, that's okay. I'm going to just put it on the screen for you. And what we're going to do this morning, this is the section of scriptures called the Beatitudes. We're not sure, Frank, we're not sure where the Lord's going to take this, are we? Right? We're not quite sure. Frank was asking me yesterday, hey, so what are you going to actually teach on this? And I just didn't respond to him on that. I was asking for prayer.
Okay.
And that's okay.
Fine.
There's a lot of stuff kind of baked in my mind as I've studied this in the past and read through it. I've taught on this before, but this is good. This is good. What I wanted to do was let's just take a look at this, right? Open up your annotation tools, and I know I've had some feedback from you guys. You enjoy just highlighting and scribbling over the Word of God. I'm gonna just My arms are crossed right now. I'm going to leave it like this for a little while and just sit back. And we're going to ask the Lord to just speak to us through His Word Himself. And then we're going to start to break it down. And we're going to be spending at least probably like 10 weeks on this, right? We may take a hiatus here too. But obviously there's a lot to go over. But this morning, I'm going to ask, Lord, we pray for your spirit to just reveal the truth and the clarity of your scripture to us, Lord. These are your word is not meant to always, like we have to drill in so deep to get anything out of it, Lord. Your spirit has been revealing your word over the course of history, even the uneducated. To those who barely can read, to those who do not have one Bible lexicon or concordance or any type of tool, the beauty and the power of your word for us, Lord, is that we can read it and be spoken to by you, that you would provide the revelation to us. And I thank you for the simplicity and the power of your word. Forgive us sometimes for being so Western and so educated, as if we have to decode everything perfectly and have the right answer every time. Lord, you know that even the best Bible scholars, those whom we might even look up to, they don't hold a candle against the true deep meaning of your scripture. They have errors in their understanding of your word. But I want to thank you for our simple endeavor to want to understand it and pray that in the simplicity of it, you would speak. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and read it now. Highlight, take some observations. I would love to read it for you if you'd like. I enjoy reading scripture, but anyone, a brother or sister, if you enjoy reading scripture from your heart, okay, to the Lord, not just to show off your reading skills, but if you enjoy reading the scripture from your heart, feel free to read it for us as we annotate.
Matthew 5, seeing the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you, and persecute you, utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
All right, feel free to grab your annotation tools. Yeah. What are your observations as you read through this? I love to see what you guys are picking up. That's cool. Yeah, feel free to highlight anything that stands out to you personally. This is not a Yeah, I like that. Who's going off? Right. Yes. There you go. Someone's. How many blesseds are there here? I mean, goodness, blessed. You know, somebody count how many blesseds there are. Whoever was highlighting that over and over. That's cool. We have a highlight on open his mouth. Who's speaking here? I'm going to grab my annotation tool here. I wish I had a pen. That'd be cool. All right. Who is speaking here? Huh? He's a blue. Okay. Seeing the crowds. Okay. So we see that there's this crowds picture, and then he, all right, who's he? And obviously went up to this mountain. All right. So we have this picture here, and where are they in this mountain? And it's cool. Like this he, I think you guys know who that is. He, who is the he?
Jesus.
Oh, good. Good. Bonus point for you guys, right? And I love this. I mean, this is what they did when they spoke. He sat down. Okay. I don't like to sit down and teach and preach. I didn't understand it when Elder Chu like sat down in Sunday school sometimes to teach us, but that's very rabbinical, right? And you know, Jesus sat down. There's something casual about that, right? It doesn't take away from the word. I don't know. That's kind of cool for me. And then notice this, seeing the crowds, he went up and to the mount, he sat down and who was around him? It was his disciples. So that's something interesting. Right. So we had the crowds. Now it is just these guys. Okay. So that means this is a type of word that is being given. Jesus is sitting down in a very casual way. giving to him this type of word. Maybe we call it a sermon. I don't know. Because is it to the crowds? Is it evangelistic? It is to those who are already following him. And then he opened his mouth and he taught them, right? Okay, good. And then we have, how many of these blesseds do we find here? How many? What's the number? Anybody?
Nine.
Okay, that's my nine here. Nine. We have nine blesseds. Nine blesseds. And I love all, man, somebody with the pink here, when poor and mourn and seek and hunger. Wow, that's cool. And then the merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, the pink should be extended. Those who are persecuted, right? And when other revile you, right? I'm just following this persecuted specifically for righteousness' sake. Wow, okay, that's cool. So I'm gonna add this to the pink person's highlight. And notice it begins with this concept, theirs is the kingdom. Okay, so this has something to do with the kingdom. We're gonna have to understand that. This is very kingdom related. It has a framework for us because those in the kingdom, there's comfort, there's inheritance. Oh, the pink should actually go out here too. I'm gonna extend the pink person here, right? There's satisfaction, there's mercy, you see God, called sons of God. Okay, so this is revealing right here, you are called the sons of God. Okay, we understand that certain people are called the children of God, all right? And you see the word kingdom of heaven again here. In the book of Luke, you don't see the kingdom of heaven. You see the phrase kingdom of God. It's very gospel-y, kingdom language. And then you have, I like someone who highlighted this. You can rejoice and be glad because there's some type of reward. Okay, we got reward language here. Okay, so you have heaven in here. You have kingdom of heaven. You have great in heaven. What does that mean? Very cool. I love this. Is this not cool? I think it's cool. All right, so I'm glad we can do that. I will take a little screenshot here for myself, and I like what you guys did. I'm going to capture it, and then I'll use that another day perhaps. I see this word blessed a lot today. Do you guys see this word blessed a lot? I sure do. Okay. But before we do that, what are your observations, right? So here's what I want you to do. Okay. Here's what we do. We got to read the word, right? And I think you guys know, like turn to Matthew 5, right? Matthew 5 is here, and I don't think my mic's even on right now, so I'm speaking into it. You guys could hear me okay, right? Turn to Matthew 5, and just, we got to kind of figure out the lay of the land. By the way, right here is probably around the area. It's a very large, hilly area. And when they say the mountain that he went up to, yes, it was an elevated area. But if you look at the landscape, even today, this is a more modern day picture. You see some beautiful lavender type thing there. It's very open. It's also a very natural amphitheater. Like every Bible professor that I've had at Talbot who visited the land of Israel would tell me that this area was very amphitheater-like. So when you spoke, your voice can just carry, you know, it's like naturally amplified, right? So look at your Bible. This is where having a paper Bible helps. Where are we? You know, I see in my Bible that the Beatitudes start at verse 2. There's like these little mini labels that the Bible editors add on there for you, right? Oops, there goes my pencil. So if you look at my Bible, it says somewhere here, it says the Beatitudes begin at verse 2, okay? So where are we? What is this segment called, and what's going on, and what are your observations? We need to learn to do this as we read scripture, right? And What's going on? The Beatitudes seem like they might be tied to something else. Where are they? They're in an area that starts with a G. What does that mean? That's pretty cool. What did he do right before he went to this area? How close is this to the beginning of the book? Right, where are we? Give me some just open observations. Let's just make them together. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Have I lost you? Have you guys lost your interaction ability this morning?
He just finished his temptation.
Okay, so Jesus was just gone through in the wilderness and tempted, right? He was there for 40 days fasting, and he was just completely getting bombarded, barraged by the temptations. Maybe not barrage, right? Because there's a limited number there that was listed. Okay, so he's tempted. What else do you guys observe? All right, Frank warmed you up. Frank's not going to say anything more.
This is the first recorded like major sermon since his ministry started.
Oh, I like that. Okay, this is the first red chunk of words, right? Aren't the red words of the Bible so important? Some people like to think that, right? It's like they're more important than the rest of the words. But yeah, Daniel's observation, I think that was Daniel, right? I can't see all the whole class, but
yeah.
Let me open a grid view here. All right. Yeah. Daniel's observation is like, this is Jesus's like first sermon. And yeah, he's specifically speaking to his disciples there. Right. So when you look at that big chunk of red and Jesus is kind of going on for a little while, it is a fairly long sermon. You cannot criticize Pastor James and I I don't know, for going too long in our sermons. I'm just kidding. People are always hammering me on time. So I don't know if I was to give this particular sermon, if it would be fitting in my 30-minute mark that I get on Sundays. Good. This is the first sermon that Jesus ever gave that's recorded. That's cool. The first sermon. Hey. Any excitement there? That's pretty cool. Wow, you guys are like barely awake. Drink your coffee. What else? What is a sermon called? The Sermon
on the Mount.
On the Mount. Thank you. Okay, this is a Sermon on the Mount, but you could also call it a hill, right? Or a flattened part of the Mount. They are in this area called a region called Galilee, right? And Galilee is far from the heart of Jerusalem, the heart of Jewish worship, right? It's on the note, right? You guys remember, you guys see the picture of the Sea of Galilee up here, and then you have the River Jordan, and then down there it leads to the big old Dead Sea, and near the Dead Sea you find Jerusalem, right? But they're up in Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, very Gentile area, by the way, very Gentile area. The crowds, a lot of the phrases, the crowds, when they speak of the crowds, it's very Galilean, right? I mean, there are crowds in Jerusalem too, but crowds up there following the multitude. Okay, good. What else? So if this is the very first recorded sermon, and it's right after them, the temptation of Jesus, what happens after Jesus is finished being tempted, right? We see from the other gospels that that's actually when he began his ministries, right? So his ministry began after he had to go through being tempted, and then being recorded in the other versions of the gospel that he's baptized and the Holy Spirit comes in the form of a dove upon him, right? And the Father speaks. Very cool. So this is the first gospel of the New Testament. We got the first sermon of Jesus, right? Okay, good. We have, all right, you guys are capturing all of my, I mean, these are basic things. right? He had just begun his ministry. This is his first sermon. What are the last words of the Old Testament? This is cool. I remember my exegesis in the Gospels professor introduced this concept to us. What is the last book of the Bible, and what's the last words, huh? You know, it's also an author by the name of M.
Malachi,
very good. Who is that, Natalie? Nat, okay, thanks, Nat. What is the last sentence that he says in Malachi, the end of the Old Testament canon here? Can you read that for us?
Do you want me to?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction.
All right. And in other versions, that word is curse, right? The last word right there is curse. It's destruction, right? But here, what is Jesus's first word of his first sermon, of the first, you know, part of his ministry, as he's been ministering to people who don't know him, he's called his crowds. What is the first word of his first sermon?
Blessed.
Blessed.
Wow, that's cool, isn't that? Right? The last word is destruction. I'm going to turn the hearts, right? Right? I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet, okay? I'm going to send you a prophet. We talked about that in Deuteronomy. The prophet, the priest, and king. The prophet, even like the prophet Moses, it's pointing to the future prophet in Jesus, right? So the prophecy says, I'm going to send you the prophet on the great and awesome day of the Lord when he comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction, right? Okay. Things that were devoted, set apart to the Lord for destruction. And yet now the very first word of his sermon is blessed. Very cool. Now, I see that word a lot today, hashtag blessed, right? You see it on Twitter, Instagram, hashtag blessed. And it seems like everyone uses this word. Everyone uses the word blessed, hashtag blessed. Even non-believers use a word, hashtag blessed, right? You see it in everywhere. What do you think people understand that word to mean? Give me, shout out some words. What are some words that people think of when you're like, oh man, or even, you know, everyone uses like, oh, bless you when you sneeze. Like non-Christians will say, oh, bless you, God bless you, right? Or, oh, blessings. What do they take that word to mean? Shout it out. Or do you guys need to get into a group?
Maybe like sometimes I think it could be like good fortune or good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Okay. Somebody open up your Instagram account right now and look up hashtag blessed and find what type of pictures people use, or your Twitter. What kind of things that people use to represent hashtag blessed? I mean, if I had more time, it just takes me a long time to do these slides, y'all. If I had more time, I would have found some pictures, right, of people saying hashtag blessed, right? Hashtag blessed. What's the picture? Give me a picture. Anybody shout it out, please. Take off your mics. Otherwise, I'm going to have to send you into groups and it gets like draggy.
Just general comment while they're looking that up. Can't you say that means you're getting the words of the Father, words from the Father himself?
Okay, so Scott, you're saying that non-believers believe that you're getting words from the Father.
Yes.
Non-believers. You think non-believers are going hashtag blessed. The Father is speaking to me because I'm putting a hashtag blessed to a photo of my two feet. Okay, I have a cool photo.
They made it too worldly. It's become too worldly of a comment.
This is a frame of me and, but can you see? Like two seats or 2 feet on a hammock. Can you see this? We are in a beautiful, I don't know if you guys have seen that. We are in a beautiful, like 7 mile stretch of beach after we got married. Cause that was Bex's dream vacation spot in the Grill, Jamaica. And I had a nice beverage in my hand at that time. And that's our 2 feet. And I would put today, hashtag blessed, right? What else would you guys do? Here's another photo. Here's like me and Bex. Where were we, honey? I don't know. Where were we? Snowboarding in Utah.
Mammoth.
Oh, right. There's Cornish Bowl. That's Mammoth. Okay. So I would post it on Twitter and say, hashtag blessed. What do people use that word blessed for today? Like, how do they understand that?
That's what I said, mommy.
When something good happens.
We all heard you, honey. That was you.
Maybe like when something good happened to them, or they, you know, get a, whether materialistically or, you know, circumstances in their life, they're enjoying something they like.
Yes. Yes. It's something you often, like.
It's not something often. Sorry. It's not often. I feel like the hashtag plus will ever be blessed, will ever be put onto like a circumstance they don't want or they don't, you know, foresee.
Right. Man, if I had a picture that, okay, I don't put these pictures up obviously either, right? But I wish I had a frame here of a picture where I am. Oh, here's me. Here's me in the hospital room when I was diagnosed with brain cancer, and I have all these tubes up my nose, and I'm looking very disheveled and pale and pasty, and I'm looking sickly, and I put hashtag blessed, right? Good, Kai, right? So there's a, Kai was bringing us into a comparison right there, right? So they use it in that sort of phrase, right? This word actually, hashtag blessed, if they did it back in the Greek days, is hashtag makarios. Okay, you guys could say that at home, makarios. And this, yeah, did someone say it? Hashtag Makarios, right? And it's just, it's really a simple definition at the just the face value. It just means happy. It means fortunate. It means like full, right? And so when you tie that biblically, it's a kind of happiness. And now we're going into what Scott said. If the, because the Greeks use that word, right? Like it's language, all right? It's just language used at that time. They even used makarios to describe the state of their gods. And that's what helps us get some understanding that gods, you know, are so happy despite their circumstances, right? Like, hey, I'm a god. I'm part of the pantheon. And so there's a picture where this particular Greek word, right, reveals to us that the root makar, it just means to be happy. It means to have real happiness. Real happiness. When the Greeks used it for the gods, right? It, you know, like Homer, right? The author Homer used this word, and it has this sense of happiness that's not just based on favorable circumstances, right? So it's a happiness that goes in and out of favorable or unfavorable circumstances. Okay, so that's starting to get a little deeper there, right? So the word has this idea of something inside, right? An inside happiness that's not the result of your circumstances, and it doesn't change. Okay, so it's kind of like an unaltered state of being happy, right? On the basis, you know, not affected by the circumstances that you are in. Like Linda says, the word for the pandemic right now, she said, I don't know the word, it was a complicated Chinese word, but she says, when it goes so long, you're weary, you're tired. Well, that's our circumstance. Our circumstance may make us tired, but this word in the biblical sense is a kind of happiness that comes from God. You know what's fascinating is when I was young, it was almost as if people were trying to clarify to me, Bible teachers were clarifying to me, Sunday school teachers were clarifying to me that there's a difference between joy and happiness. And that, you know, Alex, happiness, sometimes you're not happy. And God doesn't, like, literally, I had a Sunday school teacher or a child teacher say to me, you know, God doesn't always want you to be happy. He wants you to have joy, but not happy. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I believe that for so many years, that God wants me to have joy, but not be happy all the time, right? That's kind of interesting then. That's kind of interesting then, because then why would God say happy are those, right, who mourn, right? Why would Jesus even choose to use this word?
So are you saying that the hashtag blessed with you in Jamaica or someone in nice, they got a new house, new car, new vacation spot, they're using that hashtag correctly, actually?
If would you guys say that? Yeah, it's, I am happy.
You are happy. It is correctly used.
All right. Right. Would you have, they may not have the full understanding of that. Right.
Yeah.
If then the biblical idea is a happiness that comes from God, that is not subject to, like, now I'm completely not blessed because now I'm showing you the photo frame of me in the lying in the hospital bed in San Antonio Community Hospital with tubes up and down my body, right? And I was just diagnosed with brain cancer, right? Am I not blessed right now? Am I out of blessing?
Maybe like kind of what your second, third point there is, it's neither the result of your circumstance or subject, but like, mm-hmm. you know, our happiness or bliss for towards God, towards the person rather than, you know, towards the item or the situation.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. We're gonna, I'm just leading us up, right? This is good. To be blessed from a biblical perspective is a state of happiness. It's a state of well-being that God does desire his children to live in. Okay? Does God desire for us to be blessed? The answer is yes. I know where some people are going, okay? Because it's just, we have like plagues of frameworks of mentality. For instance, even if I was to, like, you know, look up sermons on people preaching this concept, you would see, like, people automatically go to this thing, like, well, don't go to prosperity gospel, you know, as if every time we use the word blessed, we're thinking that everything is about me, I have to get everything I want. I don't think that's what, well-being doesn't mean that, right? But does God desire his children to live in a state of happiness, a state of well-being? That's exactly the environment he created us to live in, right? A complete state of bliss, a complete state of well-being, a complete state of happiness. That's why the scripture mentions when the new heaven and new earth in the future after Jesus comes, when we are given our new bodies, we are living in an eternal state without tears, without pain, without sin, where the state of our well-being is 100% preserved, right? So we're going to get a little deeper here, if we can, in a few minutes. I want you guys to, different people, okay? Look up Psalm 68, 35. Look up Psalm 72, 18. Look up Psalm 119, 12. Just grab it real quick. Someone on your computer, do something real quick. Somebody find where the word blessed is used in every one of those psalms. Okay, so 6835, someone give it to me. Find it because you're really smart. All right, we're taking a little too much time here. Someone's like, God already be there, right? So if you're there, don't be shy. Like I'm, if you can tell, I'm speeding up my language because I just want to like move on. Like I got to get through a couple ideas.
Blessed so please be the Lord.
Okay, blessed be what? That's blessed be God. Okay, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be God. Okay, Psalm 72:18. Class, I'm gonna need you to just like
really. Blessed be the Lord.
Okay, thank you. Blessed be the Lord God. Okay, and Psalm 119:12. Give it a good guess. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Okay, okay, wait a second. Can you connect anything right now? Because this is hard to connect. God is blessed. Say that with me right now. God is blessed.
God is blessed.
Blessed be, yeah, and blessed be God, right? Jesus is saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake. Blessed be God. Blessed be the Lord God. Blessed are you, Lord Yahweh. Yahweh is blessed. Whoa. Is that like brain explosion for you? It should be. If you're not brain exploding, your brain's moving a little slow. You should have mind explosion right now. God's blessed. God is blessed, right? Thank you. Whoever laughed, yeah, you know, that was a joke, okay? But, you know, God's blessed. And if you look at 1 Timothy 11, in the New, you're like, ah, that's Old Testament stuff. The New Testament writes the blessed God. Right? So then we have to ask ourselves, what might it mean that God himself, Yahweh, is described as blessed? What does that mean? And then if God himself is described with the adjective of being blessed, how might that relate to us? If his desire for his children is to be blessed. Any ideas?
Constantly.
Okay, constantly. Okay, yes, okay, okay. Yeah, there's a concept constantly, right? Because God doesn't change, right? God doesn't change. The Greeks were tracking onto something when they created their pantheon of gods. And they said their gods are in a state where, yes, they have emotions, this and that, and this and that. They do get angry. But you know what? They're in a state constantly of being happy. And it was an enviable position. So that's actually part of the definition, the Greek, you know, if you really get nerdy and geek out in that word, I have this thing called TDNT, and it just really gives like 10 pages on the word blessed, right? And it's an enviable position, right? But because it's constant. It's like you have this happiness that's constant, but what does that mean that God has this attribute, has this, what would you call this? What would you call this? God has a state that he's in. What would you call this? It's constant. Give me some more words to describe it, guys.
Everlasting.
Okay. Everlasting. It's permanent. God is permanently everlasting, constantly blessed.
Personality, character.
Okay. It's a personality thing. It's part of who he is. Okay, that's what I shared with the Chinese group last night as well. Like I've been just on this bent. It's like in my system. I can't get away from it in my system. That we have to be a people of praise for identifying and remembering and recalling who God says he is, who God in his word says he is. Don't keep going to songs that you, not that songs are wrong, right? Don't keep going to songs that you hear from Hillsong or Jesus Culture or whatever out there that's on the radio. And you're like, oh, they say God is this. You know what? I don't know if the word of God says that God says he's that, but you can stick for sure that God says he is this. In his word, it says God is blessed. Yahweh is blessed. Can we just have that framework for a second? God himself is blessed. How can God pass any of that on to us? How can God pass who he is to who we are? Right? God is also all powerful. Is there anywhere in the word that he wants us to be all powerful? Okay, the answer to that, Scott, would be
no.
No, okay, thank you. Right? God's like super all knowing. Right, he knows everything and sovereign. Well, is that something he could pass on to us?
Isn't the related word for that omnipotent?
Okay, right, good. Okay, right. So there are certain things that God, being God, uniquely God, there's nothing of certain of these characteristics he can pass on, but there is something. There are things of his nature, because we're created in his image, that he can pass and share with us. For instance, like what? God is gracious. Yeah. God is
all knowing.
No, because we cannot pass that on. He cannot pass that on.
God is loving.
God is love. Right? God is forgiving. God is patient. These are things that can be communicable to us, right? That's you know, there's these heavy, big words. We don't need to use that, right? But there's certain things that God is that we can be, that we have, that not only does he grant, that he desires for us to have that state, right? We're already at 34. I'm going to stop here, right? I want to give you this picture, though, that and I didn't get there. I'm gonna pass all this stuff up. Okay. This whole concept of blessing, Makarios, inner fullness, can be applied to only those who know God through Christ. Okay, so that's what we even see in the New Testament, right? Peter tells us that only those who are in Christ have the ability to partake, is the word, partake in divine nature. Whoa, that's crazy. That's where some of the cults actually go off, right? But there are parts of the divine nature that we can partake in. Partake in is the word. We partake in the divine nature. That's mind-blowing. That if God is this, we can partake in that divine nature of what God has, right? What? I don't know, Frank. What do you think? You know, I wanted to paint this picture of, look, okay, I'm going to sum this up for you guys in like 1 minute so Frank can move on, because I've been teaching for a few weeks. I think Frank is chomping at the bit. Are you chomping the bit, or you want me just carrying it next week? I can't hear you.
You're muted, Frank.
Yes, I'm taking next week.
Okay, see, okay, he's chomping at the bit, right? So,
I'm ready.
So,
yes.
So I'm going to leave this with you guys before, okay? I'm going to give you guys 5 minutes, okay? Because I've been like kicking Frank out of Sunday school, and he's like, you know, he's not super aggressive. He's not like yelling at me, but I know he wants it. I want to just say this. Look, when we think of Adam, just like we talked about King in Deuteronomy, right? I was linking all this together yesterday. It's just, I was like, my mind was exploding, and it's terrible, and I was frustrated, and I was like in a bad mood doing this, but it's crazy, right? This phrase, when he created Adam, it was all about dominion, reign, rule, authority. This is a language over the world. Adam had a job to do, and one of Adam's title, if you hear the words dominion, rule, reign, authority, what would that be? You would think of the word, there's a hint, there's a little picture on there. You would think of the word
king.
Come on, people. Thank you, King. This is so hard. Why are you guys making this so frustrating for me? Like, there's no response, right? Actually, I'm not frustrated. I'm just trying to get through it. King. But you know what? Adam failed. Adam is the failed king. Whenever we think Old Testament, Adam owned that story, okay? Whenever we think of the kings that even God allowed in Deuteronomy for the Israelites to have pointing forward, they are all failed kings. Adam's story is the whole story of the Old Testament. It's just everything that God wanted us to be was epic failure. And Matthew, here's where we are at, right? This is our frame up for the Beatitudes. Everything of where we are at in the book of Matthew. Matthew is writing to who? Do you guys remember Levi? His name's Levi. So the gospel of Matthew, even though Luke is writing more for Gentiles, Matthew is writing more for the who?
Jews.
Yeah, thank you. Someone whispered that. Jews. Yes, the Jews. He's writing to the Jews, the little Jews, because they have this whole framework. And they are expecting the Messiah. They're expecting the king. They're expecting the one who's going to come in with dominion and rule and reign and authority. But Matthew's saying, you have it all wrong. You have it all wrong. You are under Roman oppression. You've been under the Greeks' oppression. You were under the Babylonian oppression. You want to be a nation that's full of power and authority because you want a king to come in human form, who is majestic, glorious, judging with his army, and you want to be a people of power. And Matthew's like, yes, he's the line. He is the line of what you expected. Yes, this is the king. But when he comes first, it's not how you expect. And he is here to bring in a kingdom, right? He is here to bring in a kingdom. And the first word that he brings of his kingdom is the word blessing. And yet, the framework of how you understand blessing today, how the world understands blessing today, is completely what I would call upside down. Okay? These phrases I'm using here, the king's kingdom that is here today is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven here today, yes, but it's not fully realized yet, okay? So is there an authority structure? There's spiritual authority today, yes, but it's not completely over everything, right, in terms of full ruling and reigning. It will be realized when Jesus comes again. See, the Jews didn't see that. They thought it was all supposed to come once the king comes. But this king's kingdom today is upside down, right? Remember, I went through that in Luke for like weeks upon weeks upon weeks. This king's kingdom is upside down. Because if we look at this today, we would not say that to be happy is to be poor in spirit. We would not say that to be happy is those who are mourning, those who are meek, those who are pure in heart. No, 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 no. That's the opposite of how we would define happiness today. You guys with me? Yeah, you guys with me? Yes or no? Yeah?
Yes.
That's what I wanted to get to today. I'm sorry, it took me a long time and I was meandering, and I'm going to blame Frank. He took that extra 10 minutes. He asked a crazy question in the beginning and it just took us off. So that's the framework, though. Next week, Frank is going to start. We're going to start taking these bit by bit and show how upside down this kingdom. And you know what? I have a burn to actually go through the whole Sermon on the Mount. I don't know if we're going to do that because Frank didn't give me that blessing yet. But we can take it. The key, though, here's what I want to say first, okay? As we go, and I'm going to remind you this continuously, okay? You, the problem with the Sermon on the Mount and even the Beatitudes is people in the past have taken one little thing and taken it out of the whole context of the sermon. The sermon has to do with the kingdom. Okay. The whole thing has to do with the kingdom perspective. You cannot take one verse out of the Sermon on the Mount and hang on it. That's why in the section where Jesus talks about loving your enemies and all that stuff, there creates entire Christian colonies that are pacifists and are completely against war, completely against any type of, you know, defending yourself or anything, because they've taken something out of context. Well, let's not do that. But we are going to take deep dives into this, but have a constant kingdom perspective. This is a framework of how Jesus has brought in his kingdom. This is the way that his people, his children, are able to live. You're able to live a blessed life today because he's laid out the groundwork for us, right? But we got to take it in that kingdom context, okay? So that's it. That's all I want to give for you guys today. That's just kind of a setup, okay? Like I do the setup and then we're going to take in the deep dive. Okay. We're going to start going to the deep end, right, brother? Next week.
Right.
All right. All right. All right. Good.
Good.
God bless you guys.
That'll be good. Yes.
God bless you guys. This is going to be good. You know, Frank's been thinking about like, blessed are the poor in spirit for about like 7 months now. Right.
Right.
So it's loaded. It'll be good. I'm glad we're all here. I know that we're all going through some, you know, weird stuff, but we believe that even everything that's happened is part of kingdom business, all right? It's all kingdom business right now, and this framework is extremely important for us to understand as we start picking these verse by verse. We're always going to come back to this grander scheme of what Jesus is framing up in his very first sermon to his disciples, okay? All right, you guys with me? Okay, amen. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you this morning. I just spilled over time and I'm really wanna being careful about that. I know people have ministries to tend to and to get their heart right as well. Father, I pray that you help us to know what's behind this and behind the sending of your son, behind the whole story of Adam's critical failure that has painted the landscape of the entire Old Testament, even as fresh as we are off of Deuteronomy. And yet even in Deuteronomy, we saw the promise coming of the great prophet in Christ, the great priest in Christ and the great king who was in Christ. And we thank you that now we get to hear the words of Christ as he comes to fulfill all that you promised to us because of the failure of Adam. Help us to know what's behind all of that, which is your great love for your people so that your people would know you and glorify you and worship you and know your love for us, Lord. We thank you for all that. We're all in different places. And I thank you that even in the midst of this pandemic, it's all part of your kingdom business, Lord. And help us to have that framework in mind and help us to pursue the things that are of your kingdom. Remind us, Lord, that as the parts of the kingdom that have already been ushered in, there is spiritual authority and this calling for each one of us in Christ. And I pray that we learn to understand that and to understand the framework of what it means to be happy, truly happy in your kingdom, Lord. We thank you and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.